You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, Thursday. Thursday, July number 12 in the year of our Lord 2018. For some reason, that date should remind me or should be important to me. It might be somebody's birthday today, or I may be getting it confused with another month of the 12th. But 7/12 just seems to be like I should know. Now, it's nobody in my family's birthdays today. It'll probably come to me like at 11:59 p.m. And by then it'll be too late to. Well, I can always post it on Twitter, and of course, if I do, that might send a red flag over to Jack Dorsey's group and get me suspended or banned or something like that. But anyway, here it is. It is a sunny Thursday morning here in the upper climes of New England, the northern climes of New England. And it is there's a slight breeze out there. It's supposed to be fairly warm today, so it's a nice summer day. Now, these are not the hot, the ultra hot or ultra muggy days. So I suppose that would be down. That'd be normal for Atlanta. But around here, anybody remember the summer country time lemonade drink mix commercials? Yeah, I used to love those commercials. Well, that's what the weather that you see in those commercials is the weather that we're having today. It is picturesque summertime. And I know I got listeners all over the country, and so they're well, we don't have farmland like here. All we got is sand, or all we got is, you know, woods, forests of evergreens. We don't have fields like that, and it's never that warm or that nice around here or something. Well, that's it. I love those. Can they bring back those country time commercials? Almost makes me wish I had video here, because then I'd go and grab those from YouTube. I'm sure they're on YouTube, and I'd play them. I think I will go and play them, actually, just so I can see them. Everybody has commercials that they love, that reminds them of something of what they would, there gives them their ideal point in life. Those country time commercials are the perfect summer days in my book. Used to love seeing those. Country time, well, that was kind of like Tang too, wasn't it? Country time lemonade. Do they still make that? I don't do a lot of that. Well, I don't know. Is it fake? It's got to be kind of fake. You know, it's got to be. It may not be artificially flavored. I don't know at Country Time how they make it and what it's made of. I'm not going to degrade them. But, you know, since I've become an adult and I've become a little bit more health conscious, nothing wrong with artificial stuff. If you like to have it, great. I just like the flavor of real things. I make real lemonade. And I remember Country Time used to be, well, we used to make it better when we were kids, because, you know, your parents would make Country Time and you'd think, it's kind of like Kool-Aid. How did you make Kool-Aid better? Because your mother would, my mother would put 1.5 cups of sugar in the Kool-Aid in the Country Time mix. So how do kids make it better? Oh, yeah, you add another cup of sugar. that's how you make it better. So I don't do that nowadays. I can't even eat some of the cereals that I used to eat as a kid because my taste buds have grown up. I can't eat that really sugary stuff. It tastes awful. Yeah, there's such a thing as being too sweet. You know what cereals I'm talking about. They're just like, they, as an adult, you probably think they're 90% sugar. And even after reading the ingredients, you're not so sure that it's not 90% sugar. So there's bunches of, you know, kids' cereals on the market that are just, that's all it is sugar. And a little bit of food coloring with some, you know, with a little bit of grain, you know, corn or wheat thrown in there. Just to make it sound and look good. But I don't eat a lot of that stuff anymore. Not saying I don't eat sweets, because I'm still an ice cream fanatic. I still like a good cinnamon bun, cinnamon roll. There's a place here in New Hampshire. I mean, they have these gigantic... No, I'm not going to give them free ads. But they have these gigantic cinnamon buns, cinnamon rolls. I mean, but I got to say, and this is why I'm not going to give them free advertising. I was disappointed when I had them. I expected them to be out of this world delicious. They were meh. Okay. Now, I've had some... there was a place in Keene that no longer exists. They closed down. That had some absolutely fantastic pastries. The lemon? What do they call those things? You put a dollop of fruit in the middle? Anyway. Their lemon one was good. Their raspberry one was absolutely out of this world. And, of course, they had some kick-ass cinnamon buns. The only place I've ever found to date that had better cinnamon buns than Cinnabon. Now, might I add, Cinnabon is not as good for whatever reason as it used to be. Maybe they, you know, they got like Krispy Kreme, they got too corporate or what have you, expanded too much. I don't know. They're still really good. But let me this place, I wish they were still open on the town square, downtown Keene, on the square. It was just fantastic. You could get in trouble going in there, let me tell you. Their stuff was that good. You get fat real quick going into places like that, which is why I try to avoid. Although the Concord area doesn't have a real bakery, which is really kind of odd. For a town and area of this size, we don't have a bakery. I think the closest real bakery, you know, mom and pop bakeries in Manchester. Huh. Well, life is close to perfect here in New Hampshire, but I never said it was perfect. Well, there are a number of things I could think of that they should bring to New Hampshire that would make New Hampshire more perfect. By the way, for those people who like IKEA, I guess they're going to bring an IKEA to New Hampshire. It's about damn time. We don't have any sales tax. You know, they would kill it here. Just saying. Any case, I guess they're looking at putting it in Salem, New Hampshire. Not Salem, Massachusetts, but Salem, New Hampshire, which is on the border with Massachusetts. But if they did that, the only reason I can think of that they would not do that is because the closest store is in Stoughton, Mass, which is just south of Boston. So what, it's about an hour and a half drive from the Concord area to get there. It would probably kill that store because everybody would come up here and avoid paying the sales tax in Massachusetts. I'm not kidding. Because there are a lot of New Hampshire people, New Hampshireites, that travel to that store, which is why they're considering, because, you know, they get your zip code information. That's how Home Depot knew where to put stores in New Hampshire, because they got zip code information. It's how they knew to put a Home Depot in Keene, of all places. Because they kept getting people coming down from that county that Keene is in, going into Massachusetts. And they said, you know what? And Home Depot right there is killing it. They really are. No sales tax. If they were to put an IKEA in Salem or Nashua, New Hampshire, it would probably kill the other store, but in Mass. But any case. Yeah, and it might even kill the one in Rhode Island. Just saying. People are willing to travel for that. And if they're going to save, you know, if they're going to spend a lot of money, and you're going to save that, what is it, sales tax in Mass, 5.25%? Yeah, that's a lot. And it's not like a car. You're not going to be forced to pay the sales taxes of the state. They're not going to know. It's a lot to a lot of money saved for, and people keep that money in their pocket. That means they can spend more money. They can spend 5% more at IKEA because they don't have to pay the sales tax. Any case, that sales taxes are a terrible way of raising revenue. By the way, those people who think that this whole nonsense of let me address this tariff thing, people. Tariffs are not a bad thing. They're not. As a matter of fact, at one point in our country's history, our federal government was the vast majority of its federal budget they got the money from tariffs and import duties and taxes. That's how it worked. There was no federal income tax, before 1913 and 17. There was nothing. That's how the federal government operated, mostly on tariffs and import duties. And so a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, there's no such thing as free trade. There is no such thing as free trade, people. What you can have is fair trade, and that's a rocky boat at best as well, because you're trying to balance your trade with another country. You want to try to make things even. And of course, every country wants to have a slight trade surplus with their trading partners because they want to make money. They don't want it to be revenue neutral. That's kind of just dumb. But at any point, there's no such thing as free trade. Even if countries all over the world were to somehow, some way, just drop tariffs of all kinds, it still would not be free trade. Because economies in different countries are not the same. And if you had no tariffs or financial blockades, you would have all your industry from a high-cost country like the U.S. moving to low-cost countries like Bangladesh. Making a mess of those countries, by the way. So there has to be a balance. It's called fair trade. And you're still going to have some import duties, import taxes, and tariffs based on the country. So this whole notion of this trade war that everybody's talking about, that Donald Trump is trying to get the U.S. into. No, folks. We're already in a trade war. People haven't, it's just that the lamestream media hasn't reported the truth this way. We were in a trade war before Donald Trump was elected. Just because somebody says it's not a war doesn't mean that it's not. We were losing jobs and money with trade deficits even to Canada. There's only so much bleeding that a country can do before it just totally folds and goes under. Those other countries, economically speaking, were basically a trade war is economic warfare. They were conducting economic warfare against the United States. The United States under Obama was not, and many administrations actually, was not thoroughly defending the U.S. against such economic warfare. Not just blaming Obama on this. You can go to George W. Bush on this too, and Bill Clinton. And Trump is trying to correct that. This is going to be a bumpy road. I've warned people about this. It's not going to be simple and easy. It's going to be a bumpy road. And we have to not just tackle those people who are traditionally not our friends. You know, like when we trade with Russia, trade with Mexico. Mexico's not really our friend, by the way. Trade with Mexico or trade with China. Those are the normal, you know, boogeymen. But the real people doing the real damage to us are our so-called friends. economically speaking, the damage that they're doing to us is real. Canada was one of them. And Donald Trump is calling them out. They've gotten away for decades for using the USA as a piggy bank. Free money. Hey, you need some money? You just fleece it from the United States because, hey, their government's going to let you do it. And Trump is finally saying, not anymore. That's why they're all whining and crying, because they've gotten so used to using the U.S. as a piggy bank that they've actually, all these countries have actually built it into their economies. They've built it into their governance. That's why they're crying foul. Well, wait, if you want to be fair, that means we're not going to get as much money. That's the whole point. The same thing goes with this NATO thing, people. Trump says that NATO withdrawal is unnecessary after allies agreed to increase their spending. There wasn't a single NATO country when Trump took office that was living up to their agreed upon treaty amount. 2% of their GDP. There were some NATO countries that were spending $0 on their defense via NATO. Zero. While the United States kept ponying up its 4, sometimes 4.5% of our GDP, pumping it into NATO, because nobody else was doing it. And not only were we spending 4 to 4.5% of our GDP on NATO, while others were not even doing their 2% that they promised, we also ponied up having troops and base military bases in some of their countries and paid 100% of that freight. And in some cases, we actually paid the country that we had the military base in for the use of their land. I think that was a deal with Clark Air Base in the Philippines before we closed it. Can you imagine that? Not only do they not have to pay for their own defense, but we're actually paying them to defend them. And Trump has come along and said, no, no more. You know, this is a treaty organization. You signed a treaty saying that you were going to spend 2% of your GDP. And you're not even doing that. No more. How about this? How about we pull out of NATO and let you guys fend for yourselves? Oh, no, 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 we can't afford to do that. Okay, let's see you live up to your obligations then. You actually live up to your obligations. And the reason why they don't want to now, because they know they can't afford to in order to keep their socialist types of governments in power. They don't have the money, because socialism and communism is very expensive. And the more they try to force it to work, the more expensive it gets. This is not arguable, folks. I know you got people in this country that talk about, well, how expensive, you know, for example, healthcare is in the United States. And it's not that expensive in other countries. Oh, yes, it is. It's just not up front. See, here in the USA, it's not completely up front, not as up front as it used to be, but it's more up front. The cost of healthcare in this country is more up front than any other country out there, because it's still a free market system here. See, they can hide all kinds of cost from the people in a socialist healthcare system, but it is not cheaper. There isn't a single country that has a government-owned or controlled healthcare system. If you actually look at the cost per service of what they get, there's not a single country that is less expensive than the United States. And the reason why the U.S. is so expensive is because we do have socialism that has crept in. And we've got all these laws and regulations about some of this medicine. Medicine didn't used to cost this much in this country. And then all of a sudden everybody thought, well, I got to have health insurance. Why? That just makes the cost go up. Well, it's trying to keep the cost down. It doesn't keep the cost down. You have no skin. You go to the doctor, you don't have to pay a dime. Oh, a $5 or $10 copay. Ooh. You don't care what the doctor charges. The only time Americans care about now about the cost of health care is when they get their monthly insurance premium bill or they have to buy certain drugs. Well, this drug is too expensive. Really? Is that the only thing that you're concerned about? The more our government gets involved and the price of health care skyrocketed with Obamacare, it didn't go down. It went up tremendously. So all those prices, all those price controls and obligations that they have in NATO and other European countries, they would not be able to afford that stuff if they actually had to pay for their own defense. So we're subsidizing socialist countries. We're allowing them to be more socialist than they probably would be on their own. That's the other part. You know, again, if Donald Trump makes sure that everybody lives up to their obligations that remember that they agreed to, NATO is a treaty organization. In other words, all those countries involved in NATO signed a treaty agreeing that they would do certain things, including spend 2% of their GDP, and they're breaking their agreement. And the only thing that Donald Trump is doing is holding them accountable to the agreement that they made. He's not asking them to spend more. Just live up to their agreement. Because we are. And basically he just said, look, I know that you guys are spending all that extra money on socialistic type of programs. And again, if we bring those back, we take the cut that stuff out, that means that European people get to be a little bit more free. I don't know about you, but again, America wins when their governments pay what they agreed to pay. And the people of those European countries who become freer also win. Again, win-win all over the place.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face and sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want to come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
Want me to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day...
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?
Then the following Tuesday...
Howard, where's the car?
It's in the garage.
Does your garage look like a giant yard sale without the yard? Do you cringe at the thought of entering your garage? Then you need Crest Garage Cabinets. With one phone call, those wonderful folks at Crest will come out to your home, design the best combination of cabinets for you, and install them quickly and professionally before your very eyes.
It's a miracle.
And unlike other companies who ask for a down payment or money up front, you won't pay a penny until your Crest cabinets are installed to your satisfaction. So call Crest today, toll free at 1-800-548-2848. That's 1-800-548-2848. And you'll never fear going into your garage again.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Do you try to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
The most politically incorrect black man in America. You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show.
By the way, my good superfan friend Dom has asked a question. Has there ever been a time in American history where Mexico has actually been the friend of the USA? No, as a matter of fact, they really haven't. To this day, the Mexican government takes the stand that parts of the United States, like Southern California, parts of Texas and Arizona, and New Mexico, still should belong to Mexico. And they also, the government takes the stand, the Mexican government takes the stand that the reason why it's called New Mexico is because it was part of Mexico and should still be part of Mexico. You know, we've had numerous little military skirmishes with Mexico over the 250-year existence of our nation, basically. They really haven't been our friend. I mean, they haven't been a badass enemy, but there's not a whole hell of a lot of love lost between us and Mexico. Now, I'm sorry if that's not politically correct to say, but that's the damn truth, folks. Historically speaking, we're not enemies. I guess you could say, historically speaking, we're frenemies. We really are. There isn't a whole lot of love lost between the USA and Mexico. And not at all. Especially when it comes to you know, certain parts of the biggest, you know, stick up Mexico's butt. There are two states that really, really, still to this day, frost Mexico. And that's Texas and California. Oh, yeah, those are, look, they even talk about it down there still. Why do you think they got these? They send these people over and they hold these placards and posters. Make the USA. No, they're not saying make USA like Mexico. They're saying make California, make Texas like. Have you seen those posters in some of those protests now? Make California like Mexico. Not like they wanted to return back to Mexico. you know, it's just one of those, just those things that happen. You know, when you have. You have a country that attacks a certain other country, and the attacker loses. And, you know, a few years after they've lost the war, they whine and complain, oh, you're not going to give us our land back? No. I mean, and by the way, the reality is the United States really had nothing to do with Texas. Remember, Texas was its own country before it became a state. It was the Republic of Texas. It was a country. It was never a U.S. territory. That's another thing that people don't realize about U.S. history. Texas, the Lone Star State, the reason why, because it was a republic. It was a country by itself before it joined the Union. So that part really frosted Mexico, because it wasn't even the U.S. that beat him. It was the Republic of Texas that beat him. just saying, just pointing historical fact out, folks. Texas is quite unique in the USA. It's a very large state land-wise, you know, one of our biggest states land-wise, and its population is growing like crazy right now too. But people of Texas, they're great people, but they have a slightly different mentality than most of the rest of the United States. Texas is the Alaska of the American Southwest. Yeah, Texans because, you know, it was once the Republic of Texas, Texans have this real strong independence streak about them, just like most Alaskans do. Honestly, if you want to know what it's like to really understand and know what the original American intent is or feeling is, it lies within Texans and Alaskans. I mean, they're fiercely independent. Now, I'm not saying that the rest of the country doesn't have fierce independence. I'm just saying that the original intent of the 13 colonies forming the United States of America is still strongly felt in Texas and in Alaska. Well, Alaska for obvious reasons, simply because, you know, nobody wants to live there because the climate's so damn harsh. But Alaska's a beautiful state. But Texas, because they've had that independent streak as even being a country all to themselves before they joined the Union of the United States. They fought for their own independence. And they didn't get a whole hell of a lot of help from the USA at the time. Just saying that's the difference with Texans, man. And that's what really frosted Mexico even more. Not only did Mexico lose to a bunch of Texans, but then those Texans decided, hey, let's just join the United States. And they already had a beef with the USA. So that really pissed them off. Just saying, historically speaking. And I don't think they've ever gotten over it. And I know they haven't gotten over it. They haven't. But the problem is that Mexico the government has been so corrupt for so long. You know, Mexicans, I know there's a stereotype Mexicans are lazy. Mexicans are not really lazy. Obviously, they're not. They're not lazy as a people. They're not stupid as a people either. But they are corrupt. You know, well, Rod, that's kind of being racist. No, because I've often said the same damn thing about black African nations. You will be hard-pressed, honestly, you would be hard-pressed to find more corruption or corrupt leaders than in black African countries. Not that they're stupid, because they're not. They are just corrupt to the core. And the Mexican government has been corrupt to the core for a very long period of time. And when you have that kind of corruption, it stunts the economic growth of that country. We see it all over the world. Wherever you have a tremendously corrupt government, the people suffer. Now look, you know, the USSR wasn't so corrupt. It was just an oppressive government. But wherever you have corrupt, Venezuela, I mean, that's just corrupt, people. That is just pure, unadulterated corruption. Cuba is not necessarily corrupt. They're just oppressive. So wherever you have corruption and oppression, the people suffer. Mexico, the people have the opportunity, so they like to think. But everything is just so corrupt down there. And that's the way it's been for a very long period of time. And I know that, you know, people say, well, that's just racist to say. No, I don't care if you think it's racist. It's just the damn truth. It's also not racist to say that about many, many black-run countries in Africa. It's just purely corrupt, man. It's just corruption run amok. Not all of them, but many of them. And to a certain degree, you know, some of the smaller Asian countries are the same. There's a lot of corruption in government. Just the way it is, folks. So, no, Mexico is not our friend. Hey, this next story here, there's Trump being in Europe, Brussels, for NATO. And, of course, everybody was, everybody's talking about the mayor of London, Stan. And evidently he has got, this is the most childish stuff I've ever seen. You know, everybody talks about how Trump is uncouth and all this kind of stuff. But look, they're going to fly this giant parade-style balloon of a baby Donald Trump. When was the last time any political leader has been made fun of like this? This is something that should, the British people should not stand for this. Now, personally, I look at it and I just think, well, it's just kind of childish and it's funny because it's so damn childish. But coming from where it's coming from, it's kind of disconcerting thinking, wait, what? You know, this coming from the mayor of London? One of the world's premier and largest cities? Really? They're going to be that childish over there. And I thought Brits were always buttoned down or is it buttoned up? You know, and prim and proper. And then they're going to allow this guy to pull this kind of childishness off. Don't ever say Donald Trump is childish. Not when you have a giant balloon of a baby Donald Trump, complete with the hair. Yeah. But Trump is. They were expecting this huge, massive, thousands of people protest. You know what happened? Again, this is our lamestream media, pumping the, oh yeah, you know, Trump is going to go over there and he's going to face this. They're going to give Donald Trump what for? They're going to have this. He's going to meet this massive protest in Brussels and all over Europe wherever he goes. And what do they get instead? They get the childish antics of the mayor of London, Stan, with a giant balloon, and. As far as the protest is concerned, oh, they only get a couple of dozen people. I think they had more security and police officers than they had protesters. Because the reality on the ground is, folks, that wherever Donald Trump goes, the people of those countries love him. They wish they had somebody in their political office like him. The people that don't like Donald Trump, those are the swamp. The swamp is not just in D.C., it's all over the world. The world swamp doesn't like Donald Trump. The people of the world love him. They understand what he's doing. And they also understand that when the U.S. wins, they also tend to win. People understand this. The swamp doesn't like him. Those are the only people that really don't like him. And a bunch of people that, you know, obviously who disdain freedom of any kind. You know, like the American. Well, the reason why most rank and file leftists in this country don't like Trump is simply because they're just ignorant. They don't know any better. And all you got to do is talk to them for like 30 seconds and figure it out. Because if you press them on their, Trump's a racist. Really? What's he been a racist about? When did he become a racist? Well, you know when he did. He's always been a racist. Really? He wasn't called a racist until he ran for president as a Republican. Well, he's corrupt. Really? We've already got the evidence that Hillary Clinton has probably committed more crimes than Donald Trump has, you know, in the last 8 or 10 years than Donald Trump has done his entire life. So how is Donald Trump corrupt and Hillary's not? Well, you know, he's the emoluments clause. Do you understand what that really means? Yeah, you can't own a business. You can't own foreign land. That's not what the emoluments clause says, by the way. Just saying. But no, you ask these people, they honestly believe that the president of the United, if you're going to be president, you cannot own a business and you cannot own land anywhere on the planet except the United States. That is not what the emoluments clause says, but that's what they believe because that's what they've been told. They've been ill-educated. The vast majority of leftists in this country have been ill-educated. And their education has been so indoctrinated that it becomes like a religious fervent belief. Even when you point the facts out to them and slap them upside their head with the facts and prove it to them, they still will not believe you because it shakes them to their core. So it is not the rank and file left. I mean, the rank and file, they're ignorant, they're dumb, they're dangerous, but it is really not their fault because even when you try to teach some of these people the real truth, they will not accept it because they've been that brainwashed via our educational system. I'm not making an excuse for it. I'm just telling you the reason. And until you know the reason that they are the way they are, you're not going to be able to fix it. That is the reason. Now, when it comes to the leadership, when you're talking about being in the Democrat Party, well, that's a different story. Those people are just evil. But they're rank and file. I mean, you look at these Antifa people and Black Lives Matter, it's just pure ignorance on their part. It's just pure brainwashing. Which is why all of a sudden you see this huge, huge. Now, personally, I'm pretty surprised about it. And there's nobody more surprised about it than the guy who actually started this whole walk away movement thing. I mean, is there an awakening happening? Well, it's hard not to see the awakening when you have the press constantly, you know, the media constantly telling us how much the president is disliked and disdained and that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And then we show up there and it's nothing. It's a so-called nothing burger. Oh, the president is going to face people around the world that hate him. They're going to have thousands marching the streets against Donald Trump. And you end up having only a few dozen. Were they expected thousands of people? Again, they had more security and police presence in Brussels than they had protesters. And the best they can do is get him when he goes to London, is having a giant Donald Trump baby balloon. And of course, oh yeah, we're going to fly this anywhere in any European city that Trump goes to. How much you want to bet no other place is going to fly this thing? I mean, say what you. I just can't believe how childish this is. It's funny, actually. I mean, it's annoying, but it's also funny. Now think about it. I mean, I've worked with kids in the past, and there's always in the group of kids, there's always that one that's annoying as hell, but they're also just funny. And because they're fun, it's hard to get mad at them, even though they're so damn annoying. But it's hard to get mad at them because they're so funny. Like I've been involved with Royal Rangers, which is Christian Boy Scouts, basically, and I've dealt with them firsthand. A couple of boys. I mean, they get on your nerves. They're just so damn annoying, but they were funny as hell, so you couldn't be mad at them. So I mean, this balloon thing. This mayor is just annoying, but the balloon thing is actually funny. It's annoying, but it's funny. I know President Trump is probably going to laugh it off too. You know, he'll probably even make fun of it somehow. Yeah, don't doubt me on that. I bet you he will. And of course, if he does, our lamestream media isn't going to report it. You're probably going to have to go offshore to find the news if he does. They're not making a big brouhaha over the fact that the protest in Brussels was a big bust. Because our lamestream media, they're childish too. Now, they're not funny. They're just damn annoying. But they are trying so hard to try to get people hate Donald Trump. They want people to, and it's just not, and they're just saying such utterly stupid stuff. Like Joy Bear? And can we just put a muzzle on that woman? Honestly. Just to save her. These people would kill the Constitution just simply because they don't like Donald Trump. You know, why does he get to nominate a judge? He's a president under federal investigation for corruption. No, Donald Trump is not under investigation for corruption. But that's what Joy Behr thinks. I got to be honest. I don't know if that's just pure ignorance or just pure utter stupidity. Probably the latter. Because she is just like most of them on The View and most of those leftist Hollywood females. You know, somebody said, speaking of that, somebody brought this point about, and it was, I saw this tweet about, from Pink About It. Pink, not think. Pink About It. And she says, if liberals do not recognize biological gender, and they don't, you know, I mean, look, we've got these, you know, transgenderism out, you know, outranks or whatever, lesbianism. Oh, yeah, there's now a cultural war within the LGBT community because transgenders don't like gay people, and gay people don't like, you know, I'm talking lesbians and gay men, don't like transgenders. And the trans are making it very clear, you know, lesbians don't count anymore. These are posters and placards that they were holding in some gay pride parades around the country this year. You know, hey, you know, a man thinks he's a woman for a day, gets to use a female bathroom. So Pink About It tweets, if liberals do not recognize biological gender, then why do Democrats still say women's rights are the most important issue instead of just people's rights? She's got a point. She's got a brilliant point. Hey, if the Democrats and leftists are all saying, you know, gender is irrelevant, you know, you're what you think you are, believe you are in your heart, then how do you have women's rights? You can't. Because then that's being gender biased, and they're not supposed to be gender biased, right? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you can be gender biased as long as you're biased against white straight men. You know, everybody else is, you know, they're genderless. So shouldn't it be people's rights if we're genderless? If we get to determine what our gender is? So in other words, are they saying that most people that choose their gender choose to be a female? Well, I don't think lesbians do. I mean, they like to be, a lot of them like to act like men. But now, because lesbians want to be like men, they're going to get the short end of the stick. I don't think that's going to work out too well. And again, none of these people actually stop to really, the problem with the left is they don't actually stop to logically think about what they're saying. Because they contradict themselves so much, so often, that it's no longer funny. It's just damn annoying.